Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue with our number two. We're going around the horn and getting you set and ready. Opening day, gosh, it is just around the corner. So once again, we have invited back in studio our producer right here at YSR. That, of course, is Andy Pondillo. I know it's March Madness, but we're carving out time to talk about your favorite sport. It's good to have you back.
Oh, yeah, I put no effort into March Madness. I find a bracket from an expert who knows what he's talking about. I steal it, and then I hope to win the challenge. Last year, I got second place. This year, maybe not so lucky.
Ah, so let me ask him. I'm going to put you on the spot, Andy P. We're here in the South region. Who is going to win it all?
Well, I put Duke on there just because that's what the expert told me to. And also because when you play these bracket challenges versus everybody in the office, everybody's going to pick Kentucky. So the only way you're going to win is through the earlier rounds. So why not roll the dice, pick a different champion, and if you hit, then you'll probably win the championship.
Well, one of the teams that's going to be rolling the dice, of course, this year is the Baltimore Orioles. Let's head out to and start things off in the AL East. Of course, 96-66. That's how they finished in 2014. What is your predictions on how this team will do?
This team is hard for me to predict because last year I was saying the whole year this team's overrated. They're going to collapse down the second half. Chris Tillman's having a mirage of a year. Bud Norris isn't that great. Wiyu Chen, I don't know if he can keep it up. This pitching staff just didn't really impress me. The thing they kept doing is their pitching was good enough, and their hitting stayed very consistent through the season. Even without Matt Wieters most of the year, they still found ways to score runs, and a lot of that came from Nelson Cruz. They did lose some offense, but they do get some back with Machado coming back from the disabled list. Wieters will come back at some point during the regular season. These two will definitely help the lineup, but losing Nelson Cruz, a huge bat. Can Chris Davis duplicate what he did a couple years ago? And that starting rotation still makes me scratch my head and wonder how they won this many games. What they do have going for them is I don't think anybody's dominant in the American League East. There's good teams in this division, but all of them have some gaping holes. So that can, you know, lead you to win some games, whether it's slugging the ball, whether it's winning some sloppy games, whether it's these pitchers, they don't have to do as much as maybe they would have to do in a division like the National League West. So I think they're competitive. They still just seem blah to me, though.
Well, when you look at the 40-man roster, let's talk about things defensively. I mean, what kind of depth do they have in terms of their outfield?
Well, Adam Jones is a gold glover out there and a guy that can swing the bat. So he's going to have to lead the charge. Without the power that they had from Markakis, without Nelson Cruz, who was mainly a DH, but losing that from the outfield definitely hurts. Steve Pierce was a bit of a mirage last year, a utility guy, a career guy that's played on the bench. It looks like, I believe they're going to start him and see what he can do this year. He had a strong season last year, but do you expect him to do that again? We see this a lot in baseball where guys just come out of nowhere, have one big year, then they go right back to what they were most of their career. I like to look at guys in terms of 3 and 4 years to get a package of what to expect from them and find some type of median. You know, I don't know if he can duplicate that. So the outfield depth, it's not the best in the division. But with Adam Jones out there, he gives you gold glove defense. He's going to give you a top five bat in the American League. And, you know, that's quite a lot. A lot of teams would love to have that.
Andy, talk to me about Dan Duquette. He obviously has been a hot commodity and a little bit of a saga going on there.
Well, there's always drama with the Orioles, and that comes from their ownership group and then goes down to Duquette. So I don't know if he's going to stay there long term. There's that Blue Jays thing that was going on. Definitely had his days with the Red Sox. So we'll see what happens. I think he's done a good job over there in Baltimore. They don't really just open up the pocketbooks for him, but he's made some good trades. The trade he did with the Astros to get Bud Norris proved to be a very beneficial deal for the Orioles. Not so much getting that ace starter, but adding depth to a starting rotation that not necessarily is dominant, but it has shown that they're deep and that every arm in that rotation can at least give you a quality outing and can give you a chance to win. It may not be the chance of one run over eight innings all the time, but it gets, you know, 3 or 4 runs. With that offense, that's all you got to do.
Okay, we're talking about drama. First baseman Chris Davis, he completes his 25-game suspension after his unauthorized use of Adderall on opening day. Talk to me about Davis.
Well, Davis, he's an interesting guy in that last year, the power numbers were good. A run production wasn't horrible, but his batting average fell off the map. And he kind of looked like Chris Davis that we saw at the Texas Rangers that couldn't hold a starting position. It was up and down from AAA, and then eventually the Rangers gave up on him. and then he moved to the Orioles, had that big year 2 years ago. I don't think he has a year like that again, but if he can go somewhere in between the numbers of the last 2 years, stay off the Adderall or get a prescription for it or whatever is necessary so he doesn't get suspended, that will definitely help, because his bat, regardless of his struggles last year, his bat was dearly missed in postseason play. When the Royals all of a sudden started hitting for power, that American League Championship Series, they sure could have used Chris Davis's bat to offset that power, and maybe he bops a couple out himself. So he's going to be huge in the middle of that order. Without Nelson Cruz, that's a gaping hole in the middle of the order, and you have to expect Chris Davis is the only guy that can pick up that production, not only for himself, but to also protect Adam Jones. Adam Jones doesn't have the year he had last year if he doesn't have Nelson Cruz protecting him in the lineup.
Okay, so here's a question. When we talk about Davis, do you think that perhaps he was a one-year wonder? We look at his numbers and what he was able to produce in 2013. I mean, he led the majors in home runs with 53.
I don't think he's a one-year wonder because I've been watching him since he's with the Rangers, belting home runs against the Astros 420 feet. So I know it's there. And he found it for that one season and put it all together. I think the power is always going to be there for Chris. The more question is, can he put the bat on the ball enough to stay in a major league lineup to be a productive major league hitter? There's a lot of guys, I think, that could hit 25 home runs in the major leagues that end up in AAA just because that's all they do. You know, what good is 20-something home runs if you're only batting 190, if you're only getting on base at a 285 clip? You've got to do more once you get to Major League Baseball. A lot of these lines, they want you to be able to play defense. They want you to be able to get on base. You've got to show more tools than just one tool. And that's going to be the question for Chris. The power is always going to be there. As long as he's healthy, he'll hit over 20 home runs every year in his career in the major leagues. It's the other stuff that I question. He's got to be able to get on base at a higher clip. He's got to be able to hit the ball, put the bat on the ball at a little bit higher clip. And a lot of that just comes to pitch selection. There are times where he's waving at pitches he shouldn't be. There's times where he's trying to drive the ball where maybe he needs a better two-strike approach.
Okay, one more quick question about the Baltimore Orioles. Buck Showalter, in his fifth year, talk to us about his leadership as a manager.
Buck Showalter's perfect for this team because this is a quirky team in general. Probably not a team that should win 96 games last year, but they found a way. Buck deserves manager of the year almost every time he puts his team in contention because that's just a tough division to win in. The Red Sox are always going to reload every time they're down. The Yankees, I don't know what they're doing, but they're always trying to reload regardless. The Rays have dominant pitching year in and year out. It's hard to compete in that division if you're the Orioles or the Blue Jays, but yet the Orioles have found a way to break through two of the last three seasons. Buck's been a huge part of that. They've assembled some decent talent over there. They could make a move or two to really improve this team, but if they don't, he seems like he always finds a way to win with what he's got.
That is the spring synopsis on the Baltimore Orioles. Let's move on over. You just mentioned the Boston Red Sox. Beautiful segue. Okay, so in 2014, they finished 71-91, fifth in the AL East. That is not good enough. They underachieved. What needs to happen so that they can move in more into the win column?
Well, this is a different team. If there's one team that's completely changed the face of their roster, it's been the Red Sox. And it's amazing. 2 years ago, they're winning a World Series. 2 years later, the entire starting pitching is different besides Clay Buchholz. I think it could work. I think this team could compete very well in the American League East. I don't know if they have the correct team to make a playoff run because their pitching just doesn't have enough dominance up front. However, we know the Red Sox will make moves. And I know this team's got to be able to score runs. A Dustin Pedroia, a Victorino at the top of the order, Mookie Betts, I know they're excited about, Big Poppy, Hanley, Pablo Sandoval. This team is just stacked. You could have Mike Napoli batting seventh in this lineup. This lineup, in my opinion, is the most complete lineup in all of baseball. It much reminds me of the 2013 lineup in which the Red Sox won the World Series with. It's not the power that necessarily wins. It's a good mix. It's the difference of hitters. You like to have a lineup that has a guy with speed. You like to have a lineup that has a guy that can get on base, contact. You know, guys that switch hit, lefty-righty. It makes it a disadvantage for matchups. This lineup has everything you could ask for. It stays healthy. They're going to score a lot of runs. Will the pitching be enough? That's the biggest question for this team.
You are spot on, because what is the rotation without John Lester? I mean, they don't have a true number one guy.
They definitely don't. And Rick Porcello, Wade Miley, Joe Kelly, you know, these guys all coming over looking to prove themselves. And a lot of quality arms still in this rotation. The Cespedes deal, getting Porcello, a guy that was sometimes forgotten about over with the Tigers when he had a Price, a Verlander, or a Scherzer. But he could be just as good as a lot of these pitchers out there, in my opinion, could be a true number two in a rotation. They lack the number one. And if the Red Sox, we know them well enough, they'll do something big once the trade deadline comes up if they need to. Kind of surprised Lester didn't come back to the Red Sox. I kind of had a feeling with them reloading this team that he would be in a position to come be their number one, but perhaps he was a bit insulted by some low value, some low contract negotiations at the beginning, so he took his talents to Chicago.
You know, I thought it was interesting, too. You and I had a chance to talk earlier. You said that Boston wins the division, but not a strong playoff team unless moves are made. What kind of moves are you looking for, Andy?
They have to improve the starting pitching at the top. The closer position, Uehara, a couple years ago, was dominant. Last year, he kind of fell apart towards the end of the year. I kind of wonder what he's going to do. That's a position they may look at bolstering. Maybe not the closer, but just bolstering the late inning relief. Edward Mojica was definitely good for them as well. But I think the starting rotation is definitely what they have to improve. It's really the only hole on this team that's gaping, and it's good. I'm not saying this is a bad rotation. This rotation could be above league average if everything works out. It's just when you get in the postseason play, you need more than depth. You need dominance out of those front two, and that's something that the Giants have been able to ride for years. They've rode three World Series titles from having dominant front ends to their rotation. The depth is important, but the dominance of having a Madison Bumgarner, you know, having a John Lester when the Red Sox were able to win those, I think that's even more important sometimes than any other element on a team. So if you don't have that dominant number one, it's going to be hard for me to predict you to win a World Series.
Okay, we are talking about the AL East we just hit on, the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox, with our very own Andy Pondillo, our baseball guy. And after the commercial break, we will continue in the AL East, and this time we will shine a spotlight on the Toronto Blue Jays. Much more coming your way right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. We will be right back.